Hulk Mania still running wild. I guess he had his funeral and there were Vince. I mean, they said that Vince was there and everything, and he spoke.
Vince cut a promo for Hogan.
That's what they're saying. He was there at the funeral, and he spoke, nicely about Hogan and stuff. This is all second and obviously third hand. And third and fourth and fifth hand, because I read a little thing on, was it Facebook maybe? And you know Facebook never lies, so it must be true. They said a lot of guys were there, a lot of wrestlers. This Triple H was there with Stephanie, and maybe DDP was there, Ric Flair was there, of course. There's a long list,
DDP, after all those times, Hogan beat his ass, spray painted
all
him.
Those times. All those times, the NWO whooped his ass.
Well, he got famous off of getting his ass whooped by the NWO.
That's right.
Well, you can start Hogan's giving. True. Maybe you should start giving your Hogan obituary while we're waiting for Robert. What do you think? Because we're going to start with the Hogan stuff. What would you say about Hogan, huh?
Well, you know, he is easily one of the most recognized wrestlers of all time. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, when you think of just like the people of a certain age, when you think of wrestling, that's like not for like the diehards, but like for just for the people, the casual fans that just like when you think of pro wrestling, think of a guy like Hulk Hogan. You know, everybody knows him. He's one of the most recognizable people in the world, honestly.
But he was one of your favorites, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, in the 90s.
Didn't you love seeing him? Every time he would come out to talk, it would be like must-see TV, man. Like, you got to stop what you're doing. This guy was full of himself.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, from the 80s fans love the Hulkamania stuff, right? That's what they're nostalgic for. But I wasn't really for that, and I wasn't really alive for that. I can't be nostalgic for what I didn't see live. But when we were young, NWO was the thing. So I kind of always see him as like Hollywood, you know. I see him as Hollywood Hogan, not really Hulk Hogan, you know. I see him with the black and the, you know, the beard, the dyed beard and everything, you know, and all that stuff, you know. That's what I really think of him. And, you know, just that image that I sent you, the gif of him with the belt kind of doing the guitar thing is kind of what I think of Hogan, you know? That's the image in my mind when I think of Hogan. So he brought me a lot of great memories in wrestling. I thought those were great times for a stretch. And he's the most famous wrestler of all time. I think he is the most famous. I think he's, I know like whatever now, like The Rock, because whatever, he does all these movies now, but I guess you could say The Rock is now.
The Rock surpassed him because, like, most people from this generation only know The Rock from his movies today. They don't know Hogan. He's pretty old now. Like, younger people. Older people than us, yeah, you're right. They remember him as Hulkamania from the 80s. Like, anyone, 10 years older than us would be thinking of him as...
Look, there's two great wrestling booms in the last, 50 years, 40 years. And they were both basically centered around Hogan, you know, Hulkamania in the 80s. I'm not saying wrestling was bad everywhere else, but I mean, when you think of like getting the modern crowd, the hip crowd, the rock and roll crowd of the 80s, you're thinking of Hogan and the whole rock and roll connection that they had there with the WWF. That's what you're thinking about. And I already talked about the 90s. NWO, man. That's what started the wrestling boom in the 90s. If it wasn't for that, we would still be watching hockey players and clowns and people singing and shit like that probably to this day if NWO didn't happen. That's my opinion. I until there was a reason for change, you know, we would have just been getting bad cartoonish wrestling, you know. So
you accredit that to Hulk Hogan, the NWO storyline changed wrestling from being not cartoony to more like serious, actual human combatants.
Well, in a sense, yeah, because they were never, I mean, of all the people that they could put in that leadership role of NWO, he was the one that made the most sense and the only one that would make an impact, like that type of impact, you know? Because we're talking about like the face of all faces, you know? So when he went heel, that was a big deal. But look, I mean, he's obviously, I don't have a full, like, I know Jim Cornette did a full repertoire of his career, starting in the 70s, how he got broken in, everything about him in Memphis and Florida and wherever else he's been in the territory.
Yeah, that was the definitive obituary for Hulk Hogan. It was really good.
It broke down his whole career from start to finish, his whole wrestling career from start to finish. I thought it was tremendous. But I can't do that, obviously. I'm not a historian of wrestling. But from what I've seen, just of things I know, he's up there. I mean, whether you love him or you hate him, it doesn't matter. He's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He's easily one of the most important. And he drew the most. I mean, I know it doesn't matter to the fans, I guess, in the sense, like, who drew the most money and whatnot. But it's important because money means popularity, meaning you drew enough money for the company and for whatever, that means that the wrestling was huge at that time because of your existence. Because you were there, you highlighted the show. You were there, man. And WrestleMania 3. I mean, what are we talking about? That's one of the greatest moments for any wrestler of any time. You know, that was one of the biggest things. That was a monumental moment, you know, that they could even do WrestleMania 3 and that they had Andre versus
my
Hogan.
My favorite shit from Hogan is when he was Hollywood Hogan, and he would just beat the fuck out of people and spray paint their ass and laugh about it. And he was weirdly, I was trying to think about it today, because as Hulk Hogan, he wasn't that cool. He was kind of like, you know, the cool people hated him because he was always beating the cool heels, and he was just the Hulkamania guy who was for the kids and drink your milk and take your vitamins. It was lame. But when he was Hollywood Hogan, he was really actually kind of cool in a way. Like, I thought he was cool, but I can't explain how I thought he was cool, because I think I thought he was, like, wrestling cool. I didn't think he was, like, I wouldn't actually want to go out like Hulk Hogan and get a yellow mustache and act like Hulk Hogan, you know? I didn't think it was, like, actually cool in our society to be that way. But in some weird way, for the wrestling world, Hollywood Hogan was so cool. You know what I mean? I don't know explain that in a way. Scott Hall was cool. Maybe some of that rubbed off on him, the fact that he was hanging out with Hall and Nash.
Yeah, he was hanging out with Hall and Nash. Definitely rubbed off, because those guys are kind of cool. But, I mean, they were cool, for sure. But especially Hall. Hall was very smooth. But, yeah, definitely rubbed off on him, for sure. And I think just forming that group with those two guys was the key to the whole thing. My favorite, I don't know, just like my favorite thing, just like the whole character of Hollywood Hogan was, I thought, hilarious. Like the facials that he would make when he was scared, the stuff that he did when he was just beating the crap out of people, the spray painting, the just like whipping them with his belt. I don't know. It was freaking awesome, man. It was a great time in wrestling. There was a stretch there, as I've talked more, you know, I've talked about it for a while, the stretch with from 96 to 98, where WCW was rock and roll. And those were amazing years for wrestling, and specifically for WCW because of the NWO, because of Hogan. So, look, I mean, sure, he had some controversy, whatever he said with the race stuff. Look, I'm not going to talk about all that because,
sure,
I mean, because he had it and it happened. I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. So he said that, yeah, whatever, in his weird drunken state, that whatever, he doesn't want his daughter, whatever, black people, whatever. I don't really care about that, dude. Honestly, it's such an insignificant thing compared to what the hell is going, everybody else has done it in this world, that like, who gives a shit at this point? I mean, is he the nicest guy? Is he the most whatever guy? Probably not. Is he kind of a weird with the stories that he makes up in these interviews? Yeah, but who cares, you know? I mean, he just wants to feed the Hulk Hogan legend. Let him feed it. Who cares?
Maybe he was, like, really brain damaged at the end. He was, like, freaking had dementia from all them shots to the head with the steel chair and everything.
You think those things actually happened in his mind, and he wasn't really making it up? He just thought it happened?
Dude lived a crazy life, dude. Dude was on the road for 300 days a year, you know, for many years. Yeah. You know, they actually worked all those house shows and everything.
I don't really know, and I don't want to guess. I'm not a doctor, but you would think the 80s lifestyle eventually did catch up to him in the 70s. I mean, the steroids, the cocaine, all those guys were doing it in WWF at that time, especially the guys that were really huge and big. So, I mean, that's probably what really ended up, like, messing with him later in his life. That's probably why he passed, most likely. Look, I don't know what he was doing now. I doubt he was still doing the juice in his 70s, but still, you know what I mean? It caught up with him, you know? Like, you can't live that type of lifestyle for that long and not have a catch up with you when you get older, you know? I mean, if you're lucky enough to get, you know, to get to where you were when you...
One other thing I'll say about Hogan is mm-hmm. that I actually like the TNA era of Hogan. I know a lot of TNA fans think he ruined TNA, which he kind of did, because I did go back. Like, he got me into TNA. I would not have watched ever if it wasn't for him. But then watched it, then I went back, found the tapes of the old days, and I'm like, yeah, he did ruin TNA, kind of, but okay. It was still kind of some cool shit in there, you know? There was some cool storylines. He had a match with Sting. But it was unfortunate, I think. The most unfortunate thing about his career was how WCW ended and how Hollywood Hogan didn't really get a proper ending, and they made him Hulkamania again, and then WWF kind of just pretended all that didn't happen and brought him back as Hollywood Hogan, and we just kind of went with it because it was like, well, okay, it's the best we could get. That was a little unfortunate because the storytelling, as we will talk about later in today's podcast, in terms of WWE storytelling nowadays and Cena and that whole thing, that whole debacle, which we'll talk about later on. Yes, the storytelling in the late 90s, right at the end when the whole thing fell apart, it was god awful. He turned babyface, he was Hulkamania again for a while, and it was fucking weird. And then WCW just died. So that was a fucked up time. And then he actually had a good run in WWF. A very good run. For like 2 years. Something like that. You know, he fought The Rock, he fought Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania. Those were amazing.
Those were great WrestleMania matches. The Rock match is thought of very highly amongst wrestling fans as one of the great WrestleMania matches of all time, honestly. Just based on the crowd reaction and the psychology behind it, you know, it was a tremendous match. And yeah, I think very highly of that match as well. You know, just having the two of the biggest stars of all time, basically having a match. I mean, Hogan and Rock are two of the biggest wrestling stars of all time. So that was a tremendous match. And yes, I know then he had a feud with Vince. And I guess that was pretty much it, right? After that, I don't really know what happened after that. I kind of lost. I don't think I was really watching that clip wrestling at that point. So I know I've seen the match with Vince as like a WrestleMania match, probably on YouTube or way after. I don't think I was watching wrestling live at that point to watch WrestleMania. So it's something I saw probably many years after that.
As I recall, he had like a tag team partnership with Edge. They were baby faces.
Yeah.
It was kind of lame. Like, Edge would do like the Hulkamania thing where he would do the flexing with them and everything.
Yeah.
To the crowd. That part I didn't really like. I didn't really like that part. I liked Mr. America and Mr. McMahon, but I didn't really like the whole Edge period. And then recently, I guess it's been a struggle because he's just been a very divisive person. He couldn't get work at the end. I guess there was a chance, like Ric Flair did go to AEW, at least for a few appearances. Hogan never did, not one time. I guess, I don't know why, they just kind of made him persona non grata even before he had a chance to do anything. I mean, Bischoff was there. Bischoff showed up. They all realize the show sucks, but still, you know, it's a thing to show up there, at least get an appearance. Why not?
But I don't know. I don't know. I just want to say, in retrospect, like, is Hogan, like, what he did with the race stuff, is it really that bad, like, compared to, like, the deviants that we have running around this freaking world, you know?
You're saying he's not Jeffrey Epstein. Since he's not Epstein, he's not that bad. He's just a little racist.
Wow, he's definitely not Jeffrey. I mean, he's from a different time. He's obviously a little racist. He's a little racist. Sure, I can see that. When he said that, what, he was in his 60s or something? He's a guy that was born when? Let's see.
All right, Vlad. We got you.
I'm just saying.
It
wasn't the worst thing of all time. It wasn't one of the worst things I've ever heard. There's been a lot of worse things done, and those people are still mentioned. I mean, Chris Benoit. He didn't kill anyone, for God's sakes. He didn't kill his whole family. He's not Chris Benoit, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's a complicated thing at the end. I mean, this is like a recent cultural development, cancel culture. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't used to be a thing, but recently people are like, well, if you find out one of these entertainers did something that you don't like, you should boycott their entertainment. All of a sudden, all their entertainment they've ever done is null and void, even if you've enjoyed it in the past. Like Kanye West, you can't listen to no Kanye West song. It's bad. If you bring it up, like, you want to play it on the jukebox at the bar, everyone be like, what? No. What are you, like, whatever, you know, a Nazi or something? So, yeah, I don't know. They decided to cancel Hulk Hogan later in his life because of stuff that he said.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead now, so he can't be canceled anymore. So now everyone's like, it's always like when they die, they're like, all right, well, now we'll be nice to you. We were fucking shitty to you all the way up until you died, and now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Dead. I mean, I think you should have been given a second chance. I mean, I think you have to look at the crime. I mean, the punishment of like banning him for the last what amount of years from the spotlight or from making appearances. I mean, I guess he did make some appearances though. I guess in WWF or excuse me, WWE. I mean, obviously the last one was not a great one for him. That was, unfortunately, a lot of wrestling fans will remember his last appearance with the booze and all that stuff.
Oh, man, that was his last appearance. That sucks.
Well, that was his last wrestling appearance in a prominent wrestling show, right? I don't think he was anywhere else. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's sad, but you know, what are you going to do? I think you got to remember the good stuff about him. I look at it from a positive point of view. Yeah, he has some controversy a little bit surrounding him, his politics, whatever have you, his whatever he said on the race. And I guess just that he's kind of makes up weird stories. Those are like the three big things, but you can't hold everything against the guy. I mean, he's brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, but a lot of great wrestling moments. He's easily one of the most recognizable wrestlers of all time. He's one of the great wrestlers of all time. He's one of the most important wrestlers of all time. So, yeah. So there it is. That's my thing on Hogan. I try to think of him in a decent light and positive memories.
All right. Well, there's Robert jumping in. The frozen Asian is here. Hey, Robert. While we were waiting and we didn't know if you would come on or not, we started our Hulk Hogan obituaries. So we already did our what he means to us and everything. What do you think? Do you want to say something about Hulk Hogan? Did he mean anything to you? I know you were more of a Rock guy.
Well, okay, so honestly, I've never really been a Hogan fan, but that doesn't mean I don't recognize, you know, his importance to the industry and how he affected it, right? Like, without him, I'm pretty sure at some point wrestling would have become mainstream anyways, but I don't think it would have been to the level that it is today without him. Absolutely not. So, you know,
that's a good point.
Wrestlers that are wrestling today, they were either inspired by him or were inspired by somebody that was inspired by him. So, you know, he's very, very influential. I would say, I dare say, the most influential wrestler of all time. So yeah, in that regard, he's probably the most important wrestler in the industry. So so I do recognize that, even though I've never really been a fan of his, I'm not gonna disrespect his legacy. He was absolutely important. So we did lose an icon.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was listening to a Cornette conversation they were having on his podcast about who it could have been to lead that 80s revival that you were talking about, Vlad. Like, if Hulk Hogan wasn't there, who would have been the main man in WWF to take them to that, you know? And it's like, there aren't many options. There isn't anyone that you could have think who could have became like a big star like Hulk Hogan. He took the ball and he ran with it. If it wasn't him, like, who could it have been? Ted DiBiase, or some people said Dusty Rhodes. Maybe Vince would have tried to get Dusty Rhodes and make him like the face of the company, but he was more like wanting someone who looked the part. Although right. Dusty could talk, right. but yeah, I guess if Vlad said, Robert, before you showed up, that he led both wrestling booms, like the biggest wrestling booms of the past, whatever, 50 years, the 80s and then the late 90s, that they were both centered around Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, the NWO. Absolutely. And so that's pretty important. That's pretty impressive. Like, and the thing I was saying, Robert, because you were saying you were never really a fan. Like, I was a fan. I think he was so cool as Hollywood Hogan when he would, you know, like, he was weirdly cool. I was trying to explain how, like, I wouldn't want to be like him. Like, I wouldn't want to walk around, like, with the beard and the black face paint. I wouldn't try to act like Hulk Hogan in real life. But for some reason in the show,
he was a really
cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bandana. In the show, like, in the wrestling world, he was, like, a really cool character. So, yeah, sad to hear him pass. But although I think 71 is probably... That's a good age. If I get to 71, I'll be satisfied. I'll be like, it's a little young. It's a little young.
Age.
But
for today's age, it's a little young, yeah.
For him, like, he was, you know, probably doing steroids and all that shit. So, shit.
Well, yeah, I think he
long lived past his expiration date, if you ask me. And he looked pretty good. He went down looking basically like he always looked.
Yeah, but more importantly, it's the legacy he left behind. Like, you know, where wrestling is at right now, how far it's grown, it was because of him, right? Would this podcast exist without him, right? I mean, it affected all three of our lives where we, you know, we
that's a good point.
Watched a lot of wrestling growing up. We're still talking about it now. So.
Yeah, and we've reviewed a lot of Hulk Hogan segments so far, and we're going to review probably a lot more Hulk Hogan segments in the future,
right,
as we go through old, you know, WCW and WWF tapes. So yeah, he'll be part of this. He should be in the Malapert's Mark Hall of Fame even already, for just like you guys are. By the way, I should welcome you guys back to the show. I should do our official entrance or our opening. Hold on, let me change the topic. Welcome back. There it is. Ah, I spelled it wrong. Welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome. Right,
welcome back. All right, everybody. It's the Malapert Smart Podcast. Can you believe it? Episode number 158. I never thought I'd see the day. But yeah, technically, we are on hiatus. We're on a break. We're doing other things with our lives. But there were some very significant happenings in wrestling in the past week, basically. And we need to get the opinions and analysis of the two foremost wrestling experts in wrestling history. That would be Malapert's Mark Hall of Famers, Vlad, the wrestling expert, and Robert, the frozen Asian. I'm stoked to have both of you back. Vlad is in the box above me. I'm in the middle today. And Robert down below me. So what's up, guys? Robert, how you been, man? I haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. I've been good. Trying to survive this current heat wave. Actually, I can't really complain. I know a lot of people that live in the valley and they got it much worse. So
oh, yeah.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, the only thing I hate about heat waves is the fact that I can't seem to get my freaking air conditioning fixed in my car.
Oh.
So when I'm stuck in traffic, you're just kind of roasting there, slow roasting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Robert, I'm glad you're okay. You're a great man and a great friend, and I'm with one of my most respected friends, one of my most successful friends, Robert. Thank you for being on the show today.
I'm glad to be called that instead of whatever Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss are currently. I don't know. What do they call each other now?
they're
not friends. Okay.
We're not friends, as the shirt says.
It's so silly.
Well, yeah. So yeah. I am very stoked to have both of you guys, because I've been live streaming by myself, experimenting with that, doing some reviews, and I've realized one thing I've learned
I've
from
watched
it.
A bit of it, Cam, just to let you know.
Yeah,
I've seen some. Yeah, go ahead.
The one thing I've learned from doing these live streams by myself, guys, is that absolutely no one cares to listen to me by myself. I swear to God, since we stopped doing this podcast, we might have added like 8 or 9 subscribers. We were like at 581. Now we're like at 590. So we're still getting to 600 though. But yeah, everyone, when they hit subscribe, it was probably because of you guys for sure. So Vlad, the wrestling expert, thank you for being on as well, man. How you been?
Of course, man. I'm here. I'm doing well. I'm breathing. Life goes on.
Yeah, at least we're not like Hulk Hogan.
Well, you need that. Well, yeah. The world keeps turning, man. And here we go.
All right. With that being said, okay, we gotta get to some wrestling talk. Really crazy fucking week. It was SummerSlam week, so I want to start with the Raw stuff. I think I'll start with the Seth Rollins thing that happened with CM Punk. So the topic is Seth Rollins, SummerSlam swerve, and cashing in. So I'm sure everyone knows what happened at this point. If you're a wrestling fan and you're listening to some random wrestling podcast that you bumped into on your YouTube stream, you are a crazy wrestling fan. So as you guys know by now, Seth Rollins was out injured. It seemed like a major injury. It seemed like they were going in a major different direction, right? For a few weeks, Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed were being showcased in a different way, that they thought they might have to replace Seth Rollins for an extended period of time, or at least this is what the fans thought. And then at SummerSlam, Gunther lost to CM Punk, hard-fought match. CM Punk is, like, dead. And then Seth Rollins' music hits. He comes out on crutches. That was a cool moment, though, when he put his hands out and he dropped the crutches and he was okay and the crowd went crazy and he went and cashed it in. So there you go. What did you guys think of that? Robert, were you tripped out? Were you honestly tripped out or what?
It was unreal.
Is that sarcastic, Robert?
Definitely not material here that will be definitely not material here that will be used in a documentary on Netflix anytime soon. Okay, so I saw the cash in come. I had a feeling Seth Rollins would cash in. I just didn't know which title. I didn't know if it was gonna be for the World Heavyweight Championship or the one that John Cena was holding, the WWE Championship. But I had a feeling the injury wasn't, or if he was injured at all, that it wasn't as severe as they made it look, and that the swerve was coming, and he was going to cash in on one of those main events. Well,
That surprised, you're saying?
No. I just wasn't sure which title he was going to go after. That's all.
Well, did you think it was well done then? The whole idea of the swerve, and was he really injured? I don't think he was injured at all. I think that whole thing was a work, and him doing the backflip and getting his knee hurt, I think they planned all that because they talked about Plan B before that segment on Raw. That was supposed to be like his, you know. He couldn't figure out how to get the title. He's like, we're going to execute Plan B. You remember that? You guys remember him saying that? So then this thing happened. And then on the promo last night, this past Monday, which I just reviewed this morning on my live stream today, he said, yeah, I had to go back and do Plan B. So he even said this was, I guess, kayfabe. He said that this was a swerve, that he wasn't actually hurt. But
I just thought of this right now, actually. I didn't think of it until just now. I think it's funny how CM Punk mocked Drew McIntyre for his very short title reign, right? When he held it for like a couple minutes and lost it at WrestleMania. And now here it happens to CM Punk and SummerSlam this year. So that's hilarious.
Yeah, but Drew McIntyre, that was his own doing. Like, he was arrogant. Yeah, well,
true.
And then,
but still, they're both very short title.
CM Punk couldn't do anything here. There was nothing he could have done. Like, he was already spent in the ring. Unless he ran away. He should have ran away. Like, he should have.
That's what I was thinking.
Out of the freaking. That's what anyone else would have done. Just run into the crowd or something. Like, you know, waiting for this long ass. It's not like he was dead on the floor. He was on his feet.
And one thing that made me certain that the cash-in was going to be successful is the referee didn't act dumb like they didn't know what to do with the damn briefcase. Like, what do you want me to do with this? 1 minute later, you want to cash in? Okay. No. The referee knew right away. So I was like, okay, yeah, this is going to be a successful cash-in.
Well, yeah, once they came out and they did the whole dramatic thing where he dropped the crutches, it was going to happen. The cash-in was going to happen. But okay, Vlad, you got any thoughts on that whole segment before we talk about the other stuff from SummerSlam? What do you think of this whole thing with Seth and his stable getting the world title?
Well, I think the swerve itself or the reveal was pretty well done. I don't know if they had that whole thing planned out, though, because if they did it very kind of, I don't know, unnecessary. Like, okay, he faked an injury and then lost a match. Now, he must have really got hurt, but it was probably like what Robert said in the beginning, not as bad as it appeared. And I think the sight of it, the image of him just kind of dropping the crutches and running to the ring and all that stuff was pretty cool. And obviously because there's already a history between Punk and Rollins, the hatred, the rivalry, it added to it. It added to the moment. I liked it, but yeah, I don't think it was a planned out thing. I think they were worried that he could be out for a while. And then it was revealed probably after further testing that he's not going to be out that long. It's not as bad as it appeared. And they changed the story because they wouldn't have had him lose like that to LA Knight as a thing, you know. No. If that was supposed to be part of it, I don't think so. So I'll give them some credit, but I don't give them like credit for stuff that I don't think they did. You know, like, I don't think they're like, well, yeah, we're gonna go so kayfabe. He's gonna fake this injury, make it look really real, take the loss. Then come back in a couple of weeks and really swerve the crowd because he's A-okay. So it wasn't shocking because there was already talk about it. There was already talk, online talk, that he's coming back. You know, that's the reason it wasn't shocking. But
wasn't paying attention to none of that. So it was kind of shocking to me, I guess.
Well, even Cornette talked about it before that. Like, there were talks, you know, about it. So that he could come back. Like, and Cornette was debating that if that happens, cool, but the way they did it as far as the Saturday night main event was not great. That's really the plan. That was the plan all along. That was kind of weird. But anyways, it was good. Personally, and this is just me, I would have preferred the show without him. I actually think Bron Breakker as the lead dog is better.
That's what I was going to say. I was waiting for you guys to finish talking that I was going to say. I was so happy with the show for those couple of weeks when he wasn't there. I was like, this is going to be a good few months.
I honestly think it's better without him. And they were going in the right direction.
Yeah, this past Monday,
And now I think we're back to him cutting those long, boring promos.
Yeah,
that he did on Monday.
This past Monday. Yeah, exactly. And, it was fucking boring.
I like Heyman and I like the group, but Rollins as the leader, I never saw it as a great fit as a group. That's why I was always like, prior to WrestleMania, when there was like that talk of Heyman joining Rollins, I don't see it as a fit. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was like debating like how that could even work. But, and it's been okay, but now it's been proven for the couple of weeks that he was out. I'd rather see Von Breakker.
I know, dude. I'm with you. And this kind of crosses over into a conversation we were going to have later where I was going to ask you guys, what's the state of WWE? How's it going? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I guess this is the Raw portion where it's like, this is going to be the main storyline, Seth Rollins, which we knew after WrestleMania. Right. This is just a continuation of the Seth Rollins stable storyline. He's the champion now after SummerSlam. So how's that been going? It's been going, you know, like Vlad said, it's been going okay, but I liked it much better with Bron Breakker as the leader and where they were going with that. That was pretty dope, I thought, because Bron Breakker is a legitimate badass, and I like the way he talks. Like, Seth Rollins' promos, I think, are just the issue that he thinks he's so important that he talks forever. So that's the only thing I have against Seth Rollins.
Breaker talks like Scott Steiner, and that's what I like about it.
Exactly. All right, well, there you go then. But yeah, on the topic of this, like, the execution of this swerve and everything, it was, to me, the best thing on SummerSlam. Because the next night I wasn't really fond of, which we will talk about next. But yes, okay, I think we'll table that discussion of the state of WWE, Robert, unless you have anything you want to throw in about how you think this thing has been going with Seth Rollins' stable and how Raw is going, because we're going to jump to the SmackDown stuff next with Cena and Cody and the WWE title. So before we exit Raw, what do you think? You have any last thoughts?
I'm not a fan of Seth Rollins' character. His promos are okay,
liking Raw with him as the main character and their stable as the main storyline since WrestleMania?
How have I been liking it? Not very much.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So the Raw half of the story in terms of WWE, you don't get too excited about these days. All right. So, okay, let's jump to the other stuff then. Let me switch the topic on the screen because I just don't want to have to edit that in later. But we're going to talk about John Cena. So I guess there was a face turn on SmackDown, which happened all of a sudden. And then he had a match with Cody at SummerSlam, babyface versus babyface, and then Brock Lesnar returned after Cena lost very valiantly. But all right, I said that all really fast, but let's break it down a little bit further, because the main thing I wanted to ask you guys was obviously the face turn, which was very sudden, and I think I even got a text from Vlad about it before I even really watched it. You guys see that? Did you guys hear what happened? I was like, yeah, it's a swerve. He must have something up his sleeve or something like that. But it turned out in the end, no, they just did it like that. That was the face turn on SmackDown. He's like, well, I don't know what I was thinking. My bad. Right? Was that basically it? I mean,
in short, yes, that was basically it.
Well, the week before, I'll just mention one last thing. The week before was pretty damn good. Me and Vlad had a conversation on the phone. We're like, that was actually good when Cena was trying to grovel out of that match and be like, I'm having, you know, mental problems and, you know, mental health problems and I can't make it to SummerSlam. And I was like, yeah, this Cena heel turn thing, it's kind of starting to find its way. You know what I mean? And then the next Friday, boom, they just slapped us in the face with it because Cody beat his ass. And then Cena said, yeah, well, that was the ass kicking I needed to, you know, get me motivated, right? He said, thank you, Cody. That was just what I needed. So you're going to get the real John Cena now. And then he said there was a line about him saying that he took advice from bad people who aren't even here anymore or something like that.
Right.
which was The Rock and Travis Scott, basically. So,
right.
And he's like, yeah, come on, guys. You know I don't want to destroy wrestling. So, all right, once again, I'll start with Robert then. What did you think of the whole face turn when it happened? Did you think it was real? Give me something here.
John Cena is a horrible person.
That's it.
I mean,
that's all we got.
I'm kidding. I'll just start off with that. He called the fans horrible. So,
not a horrible
toxic
person anymore.
This is
he
a
apologized.
Very toxic relationship, man. Toxic. okay. There, I didn't hate it that much at first, but the more I thought about it, the more stupid it turned out. First off, the timing of it, this turn happens like literally the 2 days before the match. I'm not a fan of like when they decided to do this. It's a little too soon, leading up to the PLE. And then the execution of it is, I don't know. It was really weird. Basically, John Cena admitted to like faking the whole thing, that this is all just an act. I'm just not a fan. I don't know. The more I thought about it, the more I hated it. But I didn't hate it that much at first as I was watching it. But then I thought about it more. I was like, this is really dumb.
Hey, I'll do you one better, Robert. I think it's a disaster. I think it's such a disastrously bad, terrible storyline. You know what I mean? It's such a horrible storyline. It's the worst way they could have ended this, possibly. They could have ended it in so many dramatic ways to turn him face, and they rushed it or something. Because I think my opinion is because they had Brock coming back, and they're like, well, we need someone to face Brock as a face, right? Because he's going to be a heel. So maybe
they could have done something post-match SummerSlam where, like, you know, Cody and Cena, like, you know, shook each other's hand and hugged each other, and they could have solidified that face turn at that point, right?
Yeah,
it was very weird
to me how Cody just accepted it. He's like, thank you. Welcome back, John Cena. Here's a beer. And Joe Tessitore was like, it was like it had all the makings of a swerve. It was like, you think, like as fans, we were like, you think we're going to fall for that? It was like one of them obvious ones. It was like, well, something's going to happen. Maybe The Rock was going to come. I was kind of expecting The Rock, you know. But all right, so it is what it is. Vlad, discuss the face turn itself and then the match before we get to Brock Lesnar. So you could go to the face turn, your comments on the face turn, and then what turned out to be the match of Cena versus Cody at SummerSlam, and then I'll get Robert's thoughts on the match after you.
Okay. Yeah, the face turn, I pretty much agree with both of you guys. It was a disaster, because the one thing we were excited about is, since basically what Elimination Chamber is, Cena's heel turn and how that would all work. The night he came out, what was it, in Belgium, where the crowd was booing him crazy.
Yeah, first couple promos were very interesting,
and it had
surreal.
Such promise, because it's Cena. It's Cena, you know?
Yeah,
so
good point, Vlad.
You wanted to see how this whole heel turn would go. Now, we've always talked about, or at least I did, how they would end the year, because if he is leaving at the end of this year, were they going to be able to flip him back? I said that like a couple times. Like, were they going to be able to do it? And at some point I said, no, you can't. Because look at the stuff he's saying. It's impossible at this point. He's saying that the fans are toxic, that this is like the breakup that needed to happen. He doesn't need them. They're pieces of shit. He pointed at children in the crowd and said, you're the problem, not me. So come on, dude. So all of a sudden he wakes up 2 days before SummerSlam, and he's like, well, you know, I just got beat down by Cody.
Which has happened 10 times.
Yeah, how many different times has Cody beaten him up since, like, prior to WrestleMania and after WrestleMania? I don't even know. But all of a sudden, this is the beating that he needed to get ready. So he turned face. So, okay, I will say the positive. He cut a great fucking promo on SmackDown. But I did think it was a swerve promo because it made no fucking sense for him to turn face in the first place. It made no sense. But was it a great promo? Yes, because John Cena is a great wrestler. He's a great performer. He's tremendous. So it was a great promo. But it was dumb. To ruin the Cena thing already, the heel turn has already kind of been shaky already, but it was starting to again catch its thing with Cody once we knew who he was fighting. But then to flip it around again and turn him face like this was just so weird and so poorly handled. And if it's all just for Brock, I mean, are you kidding? Brock? Nobody's dying to see Brock Lesnar, I'm sorry, in 2025. I mean, that's just the nature of things. So that's dumb too, but I'll get to that when we get to it. As far as the match, I'll go quickly to the match. The match was amazing. I will say that. The match was sensational.
I'll talk after you guys.
It easily could have been one of the top 10 matches of either of Cody and Cena's career. It was so good. It was so damn good. Despite what I just said about the lead-up and the stupidity of it, man, they put on a hell of a show, bro. I was glued. I was watching it. It was tremendous. It was great theater. It was great performance. Because all of Cena's matches have been kind of lackluster, to be honest, since he came back. This was not lackluster. This was tremendous. This was an incredible match. And like I said, it will go down in easily, I think, in Cena's top matches of his career. And probably might go down in Cody's top matches of his career as well. It was great. It was great, great, great. I, again, wouldn't have booked it like that, of course. I kind of was hoping for a way for Cena to walk out with the title. But the company made their decision of what they were going to do, and that's what it was. But I don't agree with the booking, but I do agree. I will say the match was tremendous. Like, as far as if you just look at in-ring work and entertainment and talent that you takes to put on a match like that, they delivered as far as the match goes. The booking... Well, you know, the booking fails you sometimes, and the booking failed them this time around. So
on the old Malapert's Mark rating system, what would you give the match itself? Would you give it a fire rating?
It was a street fight,
but it was still really good to you. Okay, Robert,
yeah, it was tremendous.
What about you? What do you think of the match itself?
Well, one more comment about the face turn before I talk about the match.
All right.
I think ironically, John Cena did more to ruin wrestling with that face turn than anything he ever did with his heel run.
Heel turn.
Just going to point that out.
Oh, my God.
But okay.
I agree.
I also loved the match. I thought it was really, really good. His best match in many, many years. And I also would put it in his top 10 for sure. The only thing I didn't like was when he kicked out of the three crossroads.
Cody also kicked out of three AAs.
True.
Which one of them was off the top rope.
At that point, I was like, all right, guys, might kind of tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, too many false finishes. Come on.
But everything else besides that, I loved. So if I were to... If I were to rate it, I would give it a loved it rating. I thought it was really awesome, easily on the top 10 for both John Cena's matches and Cody Rhodes. And this is John Cena's best in many, many, many years for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I would give the match a thumbs up only because I was just waiting for the swerve to happen. I was like, well, if there's no swerve, this is stupid. Like, the match just ended. I was like, that's it. So that was the face turn. Oh, my God. That's when it hit me. Once the match ended. That's why I was very...
Once it ended. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, too, once it ended too. And nobody showed up. Because I thought, okay, they're having, like, a respectful street fight here with some weapons and stuff. Steel steps, whatever. Someone's going to come. You know, there was also some stupid spots where Cena was, like, looking at the WWE title belt, like, should I use it? like it's like it was illegal to use it. It wasn't illegal to use it. It was a street fight. But he's like, no, I'm not going to use it today this time because now I'm really a baby face.
He did that more as a callback to what he did in the past to Cody.
That was really
the whole point of it.
I get it. Well, but I think
I just want to say one thing real quick, Cam. Real quick.
Yes.
I will say, to be fair, and to be completely fair, I'm always critical of AEW because they do the matches where there's countless kickouts and finishers, and the matches go on forever and ever. You can accuse WWE of that in this specific match, but at least at least when WWE does it, they do it in their big shows and not every single goddamn match on the card. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. I do think that there was a problem with that, but considering that it was Cena, that it was Cody, that it was SummerSlam, that it was the main event, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with occasionally that happening. Like if that was a regular thing, no, I would not be good with it. But I just wanted to point that out so people like don't consider it like a hypocrisy or something like that. All right.
It was pretty ridiculous, though, the number of fucking finishers that they hit in that match. But okay.
That's fair. If you want to take points off from that, then you can.
Yes. Well, I'm mostly taking points off just because the backdrop was so stupid and disappointing. The fact that... Yeah, well, okay, you're right. If you accept the Cena face turn and the fact that they had a match of old classic Cena versus Cody at SummerSlam with the main event for the title and they both did their best and they both kicked out of every fucking thing they could have, then yeah, it was good. It was what it was.
Well, weren't but you was, kind of amazed though that Cena could have a match like that? Because I was stunned at some point.
I did give it a thumbs up. Come on, I didn't say thumbs down or anything, but
I didn't know he had it in him.
Considering the matches he's been having,
the CM Punk match was
and all these just mediocre terrible.
The CM Punk match was pretty crazy.
That's true. The Punk match was better.
Dude, but he lifted up. He AA'd Bronson Reed after he had that long match, like at the very end. And he still AA'd Bronson Reed.
With CM Punk,
Yeah. I thought Cena had it in him. But you're right. He did show, like, okay, this is the last year. But okay.
Yeah.
This is his last year, and they want to get everything they can out of Cena. So out comes Brock Lesnar after he's trying to get. The standing ovation from the crowd is like, one last thing before we go to Brock Lesnar, I will say my prediction didn't come true when before we left, I predicted where Cena was going to lose the title. One of you might have said SummerSlam or something, but mm-hmm. I said on his last date, I thought they would wait and do this, basically. I think they could have just had Cena go all the way through his run as a heel and fight Cody on the last day and drop it on the last day and turn face during the standing ovation, basically. And that would have been good to me. That would have been the end, and it would have been fine. But instead, they turn him face, and now he's waving to the crowd. It's not necessarily his last day anymore, but he's not champion, so we don't know what the hell's going on. And then out comes Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar, everyone's surprised, gets a pop, and attacks John Cena and AAs him. So... who wants to go first?
Should I flip?
Oh yeah, F5's him. I'm sorry. F5. Yeah, F5. He stole Megan Bain's finishing
move. Oh really? That's what happened. Megan Bain.
Okay. I haven't seen Brock Lesnar recently. I don't know this guy. I've been seeing Megan Bain put all kinds of women in the F5. But anyways, so out comes Brock Lesnar.
Well, you must have been watching Collision because she's not on the main show.
I watch Collision. I review Collision every week on my live streams here. But, Vlad, okay, you go first. What about Brock Lesnar? You're excited for Brock Lesnar against Cena? That they had to rush this Cena face turn so he could do the greatest hits, right? And face Brock Lesnar one last time
before
he leaves.
One of his rivals.
So, what do you think?
Well, no, I'm not excited. And it's nothing to do with Brock exactly as like a character, but just the matches itself are going to be they're not going to be good because Brock is like he only really can do a couple of things now. And that's really just German suplex you a million times. And that's pretty much all his matches have come down to really the last couple of years he was in the company. He's not as mobile as he used to be, and he's probably bigger now. And he's a big guy. He's strong, obviously, as an ox. But I'm not excited for the potential matches. Like, I don't think they're going to be very good. It's just not a good mix. You got old Cena and old Brock, and it's not going to deliver like that. I mean, maybe they could make a good story, but it's been done before. It's all been done with, you know. I don't think they needed Brock here, you know, honestly. Like, if they wanted to bring Brock back, cool, but I don't think it needed to be against Cena. And I think they rushed everything, and it was just not well done. And I'm not, yeah, just not excited for it. What can I say?
Okay, Robert, does that excite you at all? I know we've not been following wrestling as closely as we were when we were reviewing every week, but what does this do for you? Does this make you excited to watch this, or can you pass on it?
First of all, let me talk about his appearance first.
Yes. Review the appearance, please.
I will also have to say this was unreal and definitely not material that's going to be covered in a documentary on Netflix. All right, so
you love mentioning this Netflix documentary.
Yeah, right, well, you have an issue with this, huh? You don't like them breaking kayfabe like that? I was trying to no sell it when you mentioned earlier, because yeah, I don't like breaking kayfabe like that either. I don't. I totally ignore this unreal show.
The ship sailed.
But come on,
It was entertaining. I liked some parts of Unreal. But okay.
You watched Unreal? Oh my god, I would never. Sell out, Vlad. You're a sellout.
Of course I watched Unreal.
Oh my god.
Unreal was better than the weekly shows, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that right now. Alright, so let me go back to Brock's return. So this is one of the most shocking things I've ever seen. I'm serious. I was genuinely really shocked at this return. Like, and you know, nowadays compared to like how it was in the 90s, where like anything that can happen can surprise you, it's very, very difficult to get, you know, to have that feeling where like you're generally shocked by what you're seeing on screen, right? As a fan of wrestling since the 90s or the early 90s, I miss that. And that's one of the things I wish could happen more often. And so when that happened, like, kind of reminded me of the good old days, like pre-internet, and like where everything was fresh to me, right? Unfortunately, in this scenario, even though I was surprised, we still have to address the big elephant or beast incarnate in the room, right? There's a lot of controversy with his appearance. So
you were surprised.
That was the reason why I was surprised, because I never expected to see him back in WWE TV. not for a very long time.
At least he didn't do as bad of things as Vince did, you know what
right.
I mean?
Like, so it's important to keep in mind that he's named in the lawsuit, but the lawsuit's not against him.
Right.
He's just implicated in it, but you know, it's not against him. With that in mind, I guess it makes sense that, you know, something like this could still happen. Now, his return does make sense, you know, given that, you know, he has history with John Cena. But to answer your original question, am I looking forward to it? Not really. 'Cause it is a conflict we've seen several times before between the two of them. So I'm not overly excited about it. And, Brock Lesnar's matches are very rarely any good. So I don't know, not much to look forward to here, but it was a very, very surprising return.
Yeah. Okay. That's so the true. Pop was because it was surprising. But once you get down to it and you figure out, oh, this is what this is going to be, it's going to be Brock Lesnar challenging a WWE championship-less John Cena. See, I don't want to see John Cena's greatest hits as his run winds down. Like, that's not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him have, like, a genuine storyline and title reign and ending to the storyline. It was more important that we got that than we just get, like, him facing Punk was okay, because it fit within the storyline. He was the champion. Punk was challenging him. Now, this is just, I don't know, I don't really see why Lesnar is challenging him. I guess he just wants one last shot at the great John Cena to prove that he beats him, I guess.
Did Cena beat him last time, or what?
Who won the last time they faced off?
Brock Lesnar demolished John Cena.
He demolished him, so why does he need to do it again? I think I sort of vaguely remember that. Yeah, I'm not excited for it. First of all, I'm not excited for Brock Lesnar returns. Like, that's like a thing that comes about every 1 or 2 years where it's just like everyone freaks out, oh, Brock Lesnar's back. I don't know. It was interesting for a little while when he came back from UFC to become a WWE wrestler again. He was kind of a big deal. It's like, wow, he was UFC champion. But now he's been in WWE for a number of years. And since before the pandemic, I think, 2018, something like that, he's been consistently there. So every time he returns, it's not that really interesting to me. Honestly, I'm not excited to see Brock Lesnar. Like, he is a legend, but I don't know. It's just not someone that, like, when he returns, I'm like, oh shit, he's back. Like when Hulk Hogan came back, or when The Undertaker came back or something. I don't know. I do think he's on that level. He's a superstar, but I don't get excited to see Brock Lesnar. Cause Vlad, like you said, the wrestling, the matches are okay. He's not as athletic as he used to be. He's more just buff. So he suplexes people a lot, and that's about it. So, I'm not excited for this.
If this was young Brock, the Brock that had those matches with Kurt Angle in his earlier days, sure. I would be like, all good. But at this point, he's not going to do any of that stuff, because he can't. And it's just going to be a bunch of nonsense. And they've already done it. They've done this feud. And I don't see what they could add to it. And I'm not sure what is going to be accomplished by having this or bringing him back this way. Like, I don't mind if they want to bring him back. That's their choice. I think he deserves to come back. I don't think he wasn't really accused of anything. He didn't really commit any crimes. So he could come back. But, I don't think this use of him is what I would have done. I would have continued with the Cena heel thing and let it go a little bit longer, and maybe then eventually, like, Cody somehow gets him to turn face by just some sort of mutual respect thing. But the way they did it so fast and how it didn't make any sense, they kind of ruined everything. And, the booking has been a little – well, it's been more than a little. It's been off. It's been off, you know, for a little while.
Okay, hold it right there. Hold it right there. With that being said, let me switch the topic on our board to the next topic, which is the current state of WWE. I think that leads directly into this, because to me, that Cena face turn was pretty much a disaster, a very poor storytelling. And the Brock Lesnar thing, also not very excitable for us. So, all right. With all that being said, after WrestleMania, we kind of figured it was a good time for us to take a break. I think we're all a little disappointed with WrestleMania. The Rock never showed up. Travis Scott showed up instead. So now we've taken another 3 months. SummerSlam has passed. So where has it gone? Has it gone up or down since WrestleMania? Or is it kind of the same? I guess start with Robert. What do you think?
I would say this. Same. My interest level in WWE is not really changed. Like, I don't. Okay, so just as an example, I had Raw on television on Monday, but I didn't actively watch it. I was doing other things as it was on, so it was more like background noise more than anything. I wasn't there were certain segments that I paid attention to, sure, but for the most part, I wasn't really watching it. So that kind of gives you an idea of how interested I am in it, right? I mean, I still follow it to an extent, so I know what's going on with a lot of the angles, but I don't care enough to really watch the whole show or even like a decent portion of it. I just watch certain scenes here and there, and that's it. So I can't say it's either gone up or down. Well, look, anytime John Cena is on, for sure I'll pay attention because there's not many opportunities left to see him on screen, right? So like that's an example of when I would for sure pay attention, right? But outside of that, there's not much. I don't know what else to
Yeah,
say
dude,
about that.
and in particular the John Cena heel turn and the low quality of it, I think it really killed the quality of the show as well. Like if I was actually getting someone to watch this and follow along with the storyline, like if I had a new friend where I was like, "Hey, try to watch this wrestling," and then this came up, it would have been a disaster. It would have been like, "Damn, this is shitty, like amateur hour storytelling. You guys, what? You guys fucked up?" And now you regret the heel turn, and now you just want to flip it back real quick all of a sudden and pretend like we're not going to notice. Like, come on, no, dude, that was awful. So the fact that this happened, I think, really killed this year. Like, I'm only going to keep watching because I'm such a hardcore wrestling fan, but this was a major booking gaffe, in my opinion, from whoever is to blame for it. If it's the fact that The Rock threw a wrench into Triple H's original plans, or what the hell happened? I don't know. In the end, this all turned out to be a fucking disaster, in my opinion. So that's my opinion on the current state of WWE. But I do have a mild interest. Like you said, the Seth Rollins stable on Raw, Vlad, it's okay. It's mildly interesting because of who's involved in it and everything. And then on SmackDown, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to challenge Cody. We haven't gotten to the next SmackDown yet, so I don't really know. I mean, I'm excited for anything. I'm excited to see like Damian Priest against Aleister Black, so I'll fucking watch anything. But I think in terms of what we were reviewing a couple years ago, because we were doing the Malapert Smart podcast with you and me, you guys and me for 2 years, 2 solid years from like 2023 to 2025, and it was pretty solid stuff. Like we covered, I think it was a very good 2 years for us to cover in detail, in depth. There was a lot in there. AEW, like they were at a period where they weren't doing so bad, and The Rock was there. We covered all of The Rock's run into WrestleMania when he was involved with that. A lot of good stuff. And then now this year, a fucked up run into WrestleMania, even though they had a Cena heel turn, and then a kind of disappointing Cena heel turn, and then a fucking horrible face turn. So it all just seems like a disaster to me, and they want to scratch it all off and start over, and let's see what happens. I don't know. This Cena heel turn turned out to be so bad. It was almost as bad as like the NWO ending. Like NWO ended like it didn't have an ending, but this was like that. They just sent them out to read one paragraph. Like it was like how I ended my storyline on this podcast with the AI host. Remember that? I ended it the same way. I came back. I was like, hey, guess
You
what?
just said,
This AI
I'm
thing
taking over,
is not working. I'm going back to the way it was. You know what I mean? You got to give a little bit more care into these storylines, man. People are actually watching. And there was a million ways they could have ended that John Cena heel turn that would have been better. Like a bunch of different ways. Like when Darth Vader was turning face at the end with when he saved Luke against Darth Sidious and threw him into the thing. You know what I mean? Like something emotional, something gut-wrenching. But no, they just totally threw it in the trash and said, "Ah, it didn't work out. It was a stupid idea." Like they just shit all over our faces. So I think that was a disaster, Vlad. So I think they got to win me back, basically. I think there was a period of time where it got hot. You know, they had that run-in with Cody finishing his story and all that, and everyone loved it. But now I think they took a tank, dude. WWE took a shit. And I would even say that I liked All In better than SummerSlam this year. What do you think of that, Robert?
Let me think about that for a second.
All right, well, let you think about
Actually,
that, and
no,
I guess I'll
you're
get.
right. I think All In was actually better.
All In was deep. It had a lot of good matches. But all right, Vlad, I think you're next. You're the last one. The state of WWE. What do you think of it? in terms of, you know, everything, how some WrestleMania and how we stopped watching, and, you know, we kind of kept an eye on it, and now this Cena thing that happened, and what's to come for you here? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was just a great time to really not focus on it and do these shows, honestly. It's been lackluster. What can I say? It's continued to be lackluster. It carried over from a lackluster WrestleMania main event to the show, you know, to the rest of the show, or to the rest of up to SummerSlam. And it's really not a like, they have the wrestlers. They have all the guys they need at this point. It's the same guys that they've been using for the last couple of years, with Cody and Roman and Punk is there, and the Usos and whatever have you. And they've got new young stars in Breaker, and Rhea is there, and all those people are all still there. But the issue is the creative has, and it happens sometimes. Look, maybe they've hit a bad patch. I don't know, but the creative has not been good for them. You know, it's been lackluster. It's left a lot to be desired as far as creative shows and things like that. I mean, maybe this is just a thing that happens in wrestling. I don't know. We never watched territory wrestling, but maybe like the company goes through hot streaks, then it cools off, and it maybe cools off for a while. And maybe that's just a normal trend in wrestling. I don't know. Like,
and they just have disasters in booking. Sometimes they can't book it the way they planned it because shit happens. People get injured. You know, there's political issues. You know, The Rock was probably, I heard he was in there trying to butt his nose in and change the booking. But overall, yeah, I would say a bunch of storylines nowadays that are kind of poor for WWE, which I wouldn't have said before. You know, like Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch.
Oh, God.
Or, sure. You know, so, Rusev versus
another example that I thought of right now, I feel like recently Karrion Kross has been getting a lot of fan support. It's kind of noticeable, right? So then, you know, I'm sure WWE is aware of that, right? So heading into SummerSlam, I thought it would have been smart booking to put him over Sami Zayn, actually. But they didn't, so I'm questioning booking decisions like that as well. So I don't know. It would have been more interesting if Karrion Kross actually did go over and see what comes of that. Like, does the fan support of Karrion Kross get even bigger, right? But now we won't know because that momentum has stalled. So I don't know. It's a lot of weird things going.
I think that's one. I think also the Jacob Fatu is another weird thing, because here's a guy that's got super over, and now he's feuding with Solo, who's not really that over, and he's continuous. I know, okay, he's losing by interference and whatnot and all this stuff, but this has gone on too long, dude. Jacob Fatu is a main eventer. He should not be in this feud anymore. And he keeps losing to this guy.
Goes Vlad. I knew that was going to happen because I saw
his picture froze.
Solo hit the spike on Vlad's iPad. Oh my God. All right. Well, as we're waiting for Vlad to come back, this is a rare time where Vlad's thing has malfunctioned instead of Robert's. Usually it's your computer that you're the one who has to go and come back. But all right, Vlad was in the process of ripping on the way Jacob Fatu is being used and not being pushed. I agree with him. Mm-hmm. He should be a main eventer, basically.
Well,
he's only
right. But at least he has a title. You know, he had a title, right?
Solo won.
There was a push. I think they can push him again. Whereas Karrion Kross, he had upward momentum, and then they kind of just killed it on SummerSlam. I don't know, like, what's going on, WWE? Why?
Well, I heard that Karrion Kross might be done, that they might release him or something, or he's leaving.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, if that's the truth, then okay, then that makes sense.
I'm not sure why, but that's just something I sort of saw, like, glossing by, swiping. I don't know what news outlet that was, but I mean, Yeah, I would have had him win that match at SummerSlam too. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think that was a disappointing booking that they had Karrion Kross lose to Sami Zayn right there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean he's been good. But yeah, there's been other disappointing storylines as well. The New Day.
Oh my God. What is up with their outfit?
Grayson Waller.
Wait, how did he end up with? Obviously I haven't been paying attention, but
how did Grayson Waller end up with the New Day? I don't know. You'd have to been paying really close attention. Like they would be like in the backgrounds of certain other like backstage segments where you would see Grayson Waller talking with New Day for like a few weeks, and then finally it got revealed like Grayson Waller broke up with Austin Theory, and now he wants to hang out with the New Day. Basically, he's kind of their flunky. It's really weird. He wants to be their flunky. He thinks they're a successful tag team. But yeah, it's a disaster of a storyline. But that's not the only one, man. WWE has plenty of them right now. There's several of them. Like I said, the Lyra Valkyria one with Bayley. That one is turning out to be a dud. Oh, let's see what Vlad is saying. He's restarting his Wi-Fi. I don't know what the heck happened. All right. Well, that's good. All right, well, we're basically done ripping on WWE, I guess. It's okay. I don't know what to say. It's a good wrestling show. NXT is probably the best wrestling show there is, right, Robert? I don't know if you still watch NXT.
So I haven't watched in a while, but then I watched last night.
I haven't seen that one yet, but you could talk about it. What happened?
What's her name?
JC Jane.
No, not.
Are you talking about JC Jane?
Paxley.
Tatum Paxley. She's in the culling.
When did she join the culling? Like, what the heck? I mean, it kind of makes sense seeing that she's. Her character, I guess, and her appearance looks like she would fit in with the culling, but. Like, when did that happen?
She wears all black like they do. Ooh. But what did that happen? I think the Tatum Paxley, what's their name? Sol Ruka and Zarya were going up to her and trying to be friendly because she was crying that Gigi Dolin and Shotzi got released and got cut, right? Mm. So they were, like, offering to be her friend. And Izzy Dame would go up to her and be like, don't listen to them. They're not good people, right? Which was kind of true, because there was one day where Izzy Dame thought she was friends with Zarya and Sol Ruka, so she came out during one of their matches, like Zarya's match, and Sol Ruka and Zarya are like, what are you even doing here? And she's like, what? I thought we were friends or something. And then that caused Zarya to get distracted and lose the match,
right?
So they were kind of mad at her. That hurt her feelings, and then Izzy Dame goes up, and she's a good friend to her. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If I'm describing this storyline, it was a very slow progressing storyline. But yeah, in the end, they invited her into the culling.
Okay.
And I think it's a good fit because Izzy, they're a tag team. They had an 8-man tag or an 8-person tag with all of the culling the other day. I think two weeks ago, where it was Izzy and Tatum and Sean Spears and the other guy, Nico Vance. And they fought against Zarya and Sol Ruka and Hank and Tank. So they had all of the culling in a match together. Yeah, I like how the culling looks.
Jordynne Grace was wearing a neck brace. Like, did she got it? I'm assuming
she got DDT'd onto us. I think, it's kayfabe. She got DDT'd onto a steel chair by Mariah May. So they're in a feud. Okay. Well, they had a really weird fast feud where... they were good friends for like a day.
Yeah, no, I remember the turn. I saw.
Oh,
I
you saw the PLE. You saw the heel turn.
I saw the PLE
yeah.
when she did the turn, but then I haven't watched NXT since until last night. And oh my goodness, Santino Marella's daughter, man, wow. And she showed up on screen last night. I was like,
Well, what happened? Did she fuck up or something? Or she's
No. She's just
looking mighty fly.
Mighty fly.
Yeah, I guess she don't really look much like Santino. No, funny, she had a match in TNA recently against Tessa Blanchard. I don't know if you knew about that.
Tessa Blanchard, the racist?
I guess, yeah.
I say that because people yell that to her, like calling her a racist. So
they do be yelling that to her. They still be yelling that to her, honestly, even though it's old news.
I don't know. I wouldn't probably call her that, but I only said that in jest because the fans yell that to her.
So what do you think of how NXT is crossing over with TNA and how they've won all their titles and taken their world titles, their women's title,
Right. See, for me, like, it's hard to say because I only watch the NXT shows. I think I should really probably start watching TNA.
Impact,
To kind of get the full picture, you know, because all I'm seeing is the NXT show, and I hear about what happens in TNA, but I don't actually see it happen there. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess it's cool. I mean, because I get to see some talent from there that I, you know, usually don't see because I don't watch TNA. Well, minus Joe Hendry, he could stay there, but everybody else, yeah, it's cool. Moose is cool.
They do kind of mention, or they sometimes show footage of like what happened on Impact, or it's like the pay-per-views or something.
Right, right.
But yeah, you are kind of seeing part of the story because Trick is there, but he has that TNA World Title now. But he's also on TNA every week because he's actually It's Trick NA, yeah, exactly. My Trick NA World Title. I mean, that was a trip seeing him and the Undertaker because I never thought I'd see the TNA World Champion in a feud with the Undertaker, so I thought that was kind of funky. But
I think that's a sign of respect.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. I think WWE actually do respect TNA, but I think a lot of TNA fans are a little disappointed by how it looks like WWE is controlling their booking. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, I mean, they've taken all their titles. They make them look bad. They don't give them nothing in return. They take all their best stars. They don't really give many stars back to TNA to use.
Okay.
You know, so
that
I don't
sounds
know.
Like that sounds like why Sting initially many years ago when he was after WWE purchased WCW, he you know, he was offered to come to WWE, but then he refused because he had an idea of how, you know, the WCW stars would be treated in WWE, that, you know, that they would look bad, right? So that's why he initially refused. He didn't join WWE until many years later.
Yeah,
same reason.
But they don't disrespect TNA like that. I think they actually give respect to TNA in a lot of ways because, like, they have brought their champion on their I think they expect to buy TNA eventually someday. That's why they're kind of not treating them so shitty. You know what I mean? I think they think if TNA ever gets in financial trouble and they get in a hole, then they'll be there to swoop them out, basically, and buy them up, which would be disappointing to a lot of original TNA fans.
Who's the TNA champ for the women?
JC Jane.
Okay. Right. That's right. She has that.
That was a disaster when she won the title from Masha Slamovich at Slammiversary. I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. And then I expected because of that, Trick would lose in the main event to Santana because it's Santana's time to be champion, right? He deserves it. But no, he lost too. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me, man. And
that's pretty bad. Yeah. And that, when you mention all that, you know, the optics don't look good for TNA.
Yeah, but it's all good. In a lot of ways, they're getting benefits, though, because I don't know if you know this, but Slammiversary a few weeks ago was 7,000 people and in the audience, and that was their biggest gate ever for TNA for their whole fucking existence. Can you believe that? So it's been getting hot.
Okay. So it does benefit them.
It seems in a way it's benefiting them. but in a lot of ways, it's just not, it's not really what TNA fans really want, you know what I mean? Because they're just becoming a WWE developmental brand, basically.
Is Mustafa Ali still in TNA?
Dude, yes, and he is so good. Yeah, he's in this stable called Order 4. He's the head of a stable, and it's, yes, they've done a lot of good storyline. He had actually a great feud with Mike Santana. Him and Santana had a fantastic feud, which ended up being Santana.
Like, I remember when he was in WWE, he wasn't really booked particularly well, but, like, I saw talent in that guy, so.
No, he's one of the focuses in TNA, and he's one of the best. He's one of the best aspects, in my opinion. So,
that's good to hear.
Yes. All right. So we're waiting to see if Vlad will come back. If he can or if he can't, he got cut off, so maybe he won't be able to. We don't know. He's trying to jump back in. But for our last few minutes, let's see what he says. Oh, it's the Wi-Fi. Well, if he can or if he can't, let's see. But for the last few minutes here, I guess I do want to mention AEW. We mentioned it a little earlier. We glossed over it. We glossed over All In. I made a comment saying that I actually liked All In better than SummerSlam. Because especially
Well, yeah, I didn't think about it until you posed the question, but I think I would agree.
All right, so then in that case, things aren't so dire for AEW then. I mean, Hangman Page ousted Jon Moxley. He's the champion now. So
right.
I've been enjoying it. I've had shows where some Dynamites are kind of weak to me. But that All In pay-per-view actually did have a lot of matches to me that were actually really cool and worth watching. They stacked them all up in one long-ass show that was very tiring.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was a lot of good matches, though. Like Mercedes and Toni Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Was pretty damn good.
That was the main reason why I watched it. It was for that match. But
that was so good. I mean, Okada and Omega was pretty good, too, I think. Wasn't their best one.
They were well past their, like, physical prime, but it was still good.
Yeah, and then, you know, the main event was pretty fucking wild. And I think overall as a show, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge
fan of death matches, but that was one that I could stomach and actually enjoy. It was good.
Yeah, no, I feel you. So I actually enjoyed that, and I'm actually kind of enjoying the show. MJF has become more prominent, and so I think it's not going too poorly. I mean, I guess if Vlad was here, he would rip on it. They have all the same booking issues, all the same logical plot holes and storyline stuff. Overall, if you get past all that stuff about how, you know, you don't like the booking or you don't like the storytelling and the false finishes and all that, I think there's some enjoyable stuff in there every episode. When I review it, I don't know if you've been watching any of my live streams, Robert, but I have been reviewing Dynamite, where I just kind of quickly gloss over things and throw out review points and stuff. But yeah, I've been enjoying a lot of things from it here and there, you know, so I don't think it's worth abandoning totally, in my opinion.
I watched the two Dynamites after All In. I didn't watch today's. But yeah, they were decent. I really liked, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Toni Storm's promo that she did from, like, the balcony. When she was eventually cut off by Athena.
Yes.
That's really hilarious.
Toni Storm and Athena might be the best thing going on in AEW right now. Oh, Vlad's here. He made it. Let's see. No, I guess we still can't hear him. It just says iPhone. Dang it. We almost
heard it. That reminds me of the graphic for the Young Bucks. they after getting stripped of their EVP title, what episode was it? Where, you know how they're supposed to show the name of the the wrestler or the team, right? Instead, they show like a template of a graphic, right? And then it says talent name here.
That's another thing that I don't really mind. That's another thing that I don't really mind is the Young Bucks, and you know, and them being the guys who are not EVPs anymore. That's been a decent storyline. They're wrestling on the show some more. So, all right. Well, I got a text. It looks like Vlad can't make it back. It's all right. Okay. That's the end of the show. So we're not gonna get his thoughts on AEW. I'll just tell you right now, the poor guy probably doesn't really like it still, but he watches it anyways, just out of a morbid curiosity. But I'll try to get us on together again sometime soon, sooner rather than later, and talk some wrestling again, because it's been too long. It's been 3 months, and we're back in our element, man. We're back in our element, Robert, right? This felt good. This felt normal to me. I think this was fun. So, all right, let's see. I think for the Frozen Asian and for the wrestling expert, Vlad, we're going to say goodbye. Vlad couldn't be here for our goodbyes, unfortunately. Robert, you got anything to say before we leave? This is your last chance before the next Malapert Smart Podcast, wherever that'll be.
Well, I mean, I don't know when we're going to be on again. Maybe reviewing the next major PLE if anything interesting happens. But, you know, I'm sure this won't be the last time I'm on this, so there's bound to be something to talk about in wrestling, but it was good to be back. It was good to be back, even for one more session. And yeah, until next time.
Yes. I do have plans for the future. Eventually we'll get to things little by little. We do want to go back and do our classic stuff from 1996 and 1997. That I'm really looking forward to watching, as a lot of these wrestlers are basically passing away every day. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of good footage to watch there. A gold mine, I would say. And also, yeah, so we're waiting for the next major thing in WWE to hit, just like this did. John Cena, we'll see if we have something major to talk about, we'll get us all together. You know what I mean? But other than that, yeah, we can talk wrestling anytime. Basically, me and you and Vlad, we could literally just get together and talk about what happened in the last week for like freaking hours. It's magical stuff. I'm still a big fan of wrestling. I don't know, even though it's a downtime, you know, maybe with the creative issues that just happened and the booking in WWE and AEW getting its critical, you know, getting slammed critically nonstop as well. I still enjoy it personally. When you give someone a hot mic and they're going to cut a promo, I'm going to listen. Like, I always think this is an opportunity. This is a chance that somebody could do something magical here. You know what I mean? So I still just dig the idea of wrestling, coming up with a storyline, coming up with promos every day and see what you can come up with. Sometimes it doesn't land. It's okay. You know what I mean? I'm still going to watch it personally. So that's that. All right, Robert. Good to see you again.
Good to see
Funny
you.
Funny how, Vlad started the show and you weren't on, and then now it's the other way around. Vlad cut out and his internet fucked up. Wonder what internet he pays for. We gotta find that out next time and lambast them, because they fucked up our show. Whoever fucking Vlad's internet is, they fucked up our show, man. The end of the show, I was all fumbling around with my words. I'm looking at the text messages. I'm like, is Vlad coming back on? And I'm trying to talk about like AEW, like god damn it. I'm going to fucking find out who his fucking ISP is, and I'm going to call their ass. Yeah, I'm going to fucking rip them a new one.
That was unreal. I swear that's the last time I'll ever say that.
I know. If we had a camera at Vlad's apartment right now to find out what was going on, we need the behind the scenes of what's going on. Vlad's internet. He probably was just tired and said, fuck it, my phone's not working, I'm going to sleep.
pull the curtain back to see how the Wi-Fi dropped.
All right then, Robert. On that note, like and subscribe, everyone. We need more subscribers. We're almost at 600, and we'll see you later on with more wrestling talk. Check out the live streams for all my latest reviews, and go to the videos tab for all our classic reviews with Robert the Frozen Asian and Vlad the Wrestling Expert. All right then. On that note, we'll see you on the next episode. Have a good one.